Today is December 18th, 1987. The following interview is with Edward Stuckey, S-T-U-C-K-Y. Mr. Stuckey is an associate director of the Office of Cabinet Affairs. The interview will take place in Mr. Stuckey's office in the old executive office building.
Well, the question we always ask to start with is, when did you join the White House staff?
July of 1985.
How was it that you got this position? And is this an interesting story? If it is, fine. If it isn't,
that was not too terribly interesting. But I've been working with the Treasury Department for Reagan and Reagan's office, and I stayed on board for about 4 months or so after the switch when Baker went over there, Reagan came over here, and then joined the rest of the crew after that, working for Kinger, who I've gotten over the Treasury Department.
What were your assignments?
These are all the possessions you're sort of declaring.
Yeah,
this is a recording.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. This was Hans Kuttner who had to put in his two bits worth, and that
it was changed back.
That's right.
It tells me that someday I'll be able to go to the presidential library and
that's
listen
right.
to this tape.
That's right. Yes. Yes. And perhaps
and
listen to one with you on it too.
Perhaps I have the record please show that it was a very sunny day today. I'd be sad to leave.
I'm sure the record will pick that up. Thank you, Han.
Bye, Han.
When they talked to you about coming over here, did they give you some specific ideas as to what your responsibilities would be?
It was a little bit vague. The way Al had the Office of Cabinet Affairs divided is we each had a cluster of agencies we were responsible for, and he wanted me to pick up the economic agencies, which at the time were Treasury, Commerce, USTR, and Agriculture, plus some other independent agencies, SBA and I. What we were supposed to, it was really a freelancing sort of a job. We had free rein to get involved in any of those issues and those problems dealing with those agencies that needed to be fixed or handled. So it was really kind of a wide open license.
Would this mean that you might be somewhat thought of as a fireman that would react to events rather than planning for events, or was there a mix of both?
It was probably two-thirds reacting and one-third planning. And the planning was usually in conjunction with the Economic Policy Council and the work they were doing.
If you were to attempt to categorize areas in which you spent your time, is there any one, two, or three of them that would leap out as being the most significant or the most time-consuming, the most important?
Probably the two would be the trade area, which at the time was still is, a very difficult problem given the trade deficit, what Congress is doing, and how we best go about taking care of the political problem and the actual deficit. The other area, largely because of the political problem, was in agriculture. Spent a lot of time working on ag issues.
That surprises me. I wouldn't have thought that agriculture was that important.
It was at the time, particularly in 86 because of the election. Agriculture was very important. The Farm Belt at that time was just starting to come out of a severe depression. And Republican candidates were not faring very well. There was a perception that the president didn't care, didn't understand the problem of the Farm Belt. There's also the budget side of it, that we're the fastest growing segment of the budget has been ag spending.
When one sees and hears you talk about these agencies that you are to deal with, it sounds like an overwhelming task. You've got 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week. How does one go about handling and keeping all those in the air at one time, catching them and not letting them fall?
You don't. There's a lot of stuff that just goes undone, and you just try and make sure that the important things get done during the course of the day, and then let the rest of it kind of go by the wayside.
Does this mean that you're meeting face-to-face with people from these departments and agencies, or are you on the phone with them, or are you actually over there visiting with them, or what?
Not over there too much. On the phone a lot and occasionally meeting with them. Spend a lot of time with the chief of staff, some time with the cabinet secretaries and the deputy secretaries, and then as necessary with the other senior management over there, the assistant secretary level.
How about traveling? Would you do much traveling in the course of this job?
Very little. That's here most of the time.
The Office of Cabinet Affairs has several different people having this liaison responsibility. Would you folks get together much, or would you just kind of operate in your own little area and not have much interchange one with another?
A fair amount of interchange. Usually the problems were things where if if there were several agencies who were involved in an issue, usually one of the associate directors had responsibility for all of those agencies. So on a trade issue, you've got Commerce, you've got the Treasury Department, you've got USTR, sometimes Agriculture, all having an interest in it, but I had all the accounts, so I didn't have to go deal with colleagues here in this office that much. Occasionally, there would be areas where there would be some sort of an issue that cut across somebody else's agencies, and I'd work with Rick, who was here most of the time, work with Rick or Hans now. But that didn't happen all that much.
And in the course of working with these agencies on a particular matter, how did they view you? What did they expect out of you? Were you the
probably honest? A lot more than they ever got. I think we did a pretty good, our role was twofold. One is to be sort of a policeman, and we'd have to spend a lot of time reprimanding or, you know, arguing with or in a contentious relationship with the agencies. But I think that they understood that a lot of times it's the interest of the agencies were not necessarily the interest of the White House. So that was not that big a problem. The other side of it, and we tried to do as much as we could, is to act as their advocate inside the White House. Very often a department would have a good idea or want to go a certain direction on a policy issue, but for some reason the White House was against it, and if we had decided that we should act as their advocate, it was a good idea, then we would represent them around the White House. So it worked both ways, sort of an ombudsman over here, but then also a little bit of a policeman.
Did you have much contact with, let's say, Capitol Hill?
Not too much. Most of the contact with the Hill were relationships I would have had with the Hill that I brought to me with the job, friends and stuff like that. But on a day-to-day basis, not only did we not have much contact, we were not supposed to have much contact. We worked a lot with the legislative office here in the White House, because a lot of things we got involved in had congressional interest.
How about outside the federal bureaucracy? Did you have much dealing with state and local officials or special interest groups?
Not really, although I didn't have many dealings with state and local officials occasionally, but not often. I had a lot of dealings with people on the outside, because that's where a lot of the expertise on the issues resides. So a lot of dealings with lawyers, consultants, interest groups, that sort of stuff. You frequently have to go to get information or to explain what it is you're doing.
Would this mean that you might be working closely with the Office of Public Affairs in some instances?
Public liaison, I work closely with public liaison. And a lot of times there would be briefings for various outside groups, and we'd be called in to address the groups and explain where we're going on something.
The overall operation of the Office of Cabinet Affairs while you've been here, is there any way you could just kind of generally highlight that? Was it one in which the assistant, whether it be Kingan or Risk, would have meetings with you folks on a daily basis in the mornings to kind of set the schedule for the day?
We always had, both under Kingan and Nancy, we had daily staff meetings in the morning, which were fairly short and kind of a chance to bring Kingan up to speed on what was going on. Plus, he'd tell us what senior staff over in the West Wing was up to that day. Most of it then is done on an ad hoc basis. There'll be two or three kind of main projects for the day, and then you work pretty closely with Al or with Nancy on those projects. But it really is a very loose, unstructured environment, and changes a lot. I mean, when Kingan came on board, he and Regan had a long time established relationship, fairly long time. They knew each other back in New York days and worked closely at Treasury, and they were the same age, and they talked the same Wall Street language and got along awfully well. So I think Regan relied on Kingan to do a lot of stuff, particularly in the economic area, that probably Nancy is not doing now, just because it's a different set of personalities involved. I don't know where that whole point was going.
Well, in terms of the working relationship between you folks here and the old EOB, and let's say Kingan or Nancy over there, was it close? Was it distant? Was it frequent? Was it?
It's been, in my area, it's been a little more distant, a little less frequent than Nancy, because she's involved in issues that are usually non-economic. She personally was involved in non-economic issues. With Kingan, it was very close, and I spent a lot of time over in Kingan's office and a lot of time bouncing around the West Wing.
Could you generalize and give us an overview of what a typical day might have been like for you? What time would you expect to arrive? What would you do in the course of the day, maybe in the morning hours, in the afternoon hours? How late into the evening might you work?
The only thing that's typical are the hours. I would usually, there's sort of two segments of my job has changed under Nancy.
Okay. Well, if you care to address both of them, that, for the record, that's
sure.
Fine.
When Kingan was here, usually get in 7:15, 7:30 at the latest, and stay till 7:30 at night, sometimes later. And ordinarily meet with Ping and real briefly in the morning, figure out what the news stories are of the day, and if there's anything that he needed to know for senior staff meeting, which was 8 o'clock. Then we'd have our regular staff meeting with Al afterwards at, I guess it was 8:30 usually. And then it just varied depending on what the problem of the day was and what, you know, needed to be worked on, what the issue was we were working on. It just varied over the course of the day. There's no set schedule after that.
Well, you one of those people who could count on a lunch hour at a specific time?
Not all that often. It is frequently, I've canceled a lot of lunches. Although the way, and I think that Rick and I both approached this way, Al did not get out all that much because his schedule was really tied down. And so Rick and I tried to get out as much as we could, and lunch is a good time to do it, to see what the rest of the world outside of the building is thinking. So we could bring that back to King and others. So I would try and always get out for lunch if I could, but a lot of times it ended up getting canceled or rescheduled.
The Economic Policy Council, you mentioned that in passing. How involved were you in that council?
Pretty involved. I went to all the meetings. Gene and I worked real closely together and got along unusually well. And I think Al he viewed Gene as kind of the honest broker. And then he viewed his cabinet affairs staff as people who could kind of push the department. And he didn't want the Gene McAllister and the Economic Policy Council staff to be out there making ways that the departments that they could avoid doing it. You know, sort of the strategy. It didn't always work that cleanly. And a lot of times Gene and I would just figure out between the two of us who would take what responsibilities. It always seemed to work very well.
In attending the meetings of the EPC, were you often asked to contribute either in form of paperwork or comments during the course of the meeting?
No. No. If I contributed, it would be before the meeting or after the meeting, you know, privately with Gene or without. Not at the meeting.
Ed, how about documentation of your activities? When the scholars dig into the records and want to analyze the Office of Cabinet Affairs, let's say economic policy during the Reagan administration, or Ed Stuckey's contribution, roles and responsibilities, how much documentation will they find?
Not that much that involves me. Most of it was verbal. Or shredded, no, I'm just kidding. Most of it was verbal. Most of the paperwork that came out of the cabinet secretary's domain comes out of the policy council. Both Al and Nancy, Al in particular, did not like to work off paper, liked to work verbally. So if you had something you needed to get to Al instead of doing a piece of paper on it, you would ordinarily do it verbally. There are a handful of sort of random issues that didn't fit into a policy category that he would let Regan know about, and we would do the paperwork on that, and always draft those memos. So that's going to be about the extent of it. Sometimes my name's on it, sometimes they aren't. So,
would there be memos that you would have drafted, let's say, for either Kingan's signature or Don Regan's, that you would want to let the researchers in the future know about in terms of particular categories or areas?
No, most of the areas were things, it was almost casework. For lack of a better term, there'd be a problem with the New York Customs House up in New York or something if you got someone to handle it. But none of it is anything that would be particularly interesting to national policy.
How about any interviews? Did you ever do any interviews with, let's say, newspapers, magazines, periodicals, or what have you?
Not officially.
So your name does not appear in print?
Absolutely not. Okay. It does not appear in print.
Is there any particular thing that stands head and shoulders above all the others that you're going to recall, either with fondness or sadness or hilarity?
There are probably a lot of anecdotes I'll look back on that are pretty funny. There are a lot of people that I've met here who I know are going to be long-term friends. Also, I think the opportunity to observe how I was very lucky in that I sat in a lot of meetings with the president. Not a lot, but you know, cabinet meetings and EPC meetings. And so a chance to observe the policy process at this level at the White House and in a previous job to observe at the departmental level has been a really good experience. and one that I've been really lucky to have at a young age. And I think because of that, it stripped some of the mystery from it. And because of that, I think it has filled a need that a lot of people don't get until they're older. And I think it, I mean, my own personal opinion is better to get it younger, get it out of the way, and then go on with your life. A lot of people don't do that, and they kind of come into it later on in life. And I think sometimes it gets kind of difficult. But, as you know, nothing but a good experience. Now's a good time to move on.
Where are you headed now? I'm going to lead up to another question, but this is the immediate one.
I'm going to start a consulting business with a friend of mine here in town. A little two-man operation. We're going to see if we're going to hang out shingles, see if we can't make a living.
What will the name of it be?
Don't know yet.
Don't know yet, okay.
I have no idea. Don't know the name. All I know is where the offices are going to be, but I don't know the name, phone numbers, or any of that sort of stuff. Worry about that later.
All right. This leads up to the other long-range question. That is, when the researchers, let's say 10 years from now, are out there at the Reagan Library scratching their heads and trying to figure out some of this, and they'll finally say, I think we've got to get in touch with Ed Stuckey. Do you have any hints as to how they might start?
My guess is I'll still be around Washington. Okay. And if I am, I'm sure I'll be in the phone book. So they could certainly track me down that way.
Are you a member of any professional organizations that also will keep track of you, or perhaps alumni associations?
I graduated from the University of Kansas and have never ever given them a forwarding address. And I've lived in probably 6 or 7 different places in Washington, and every single time they have found me to ask for money. They've got to have the best, whatever it is they're doing to research and track people down, they've got the best service in the country, because it doesn't matter where I move, they get me.
Okay.
So the University of Kansas, their alumni relations, or whatever their appropriate fundraising operation is probably as good as any.
Right.
And they will find me somewhere.
Good deal.
Maybe Liberia, they'll find me.
Where's your hometown?
I grew up in Wichita.
Did you?
And my parents, I have a sister who moved to Minneapolis, actually St. Paul. My parents live in Phoenix. So they've all kind of scattered. The only relative left in Kansas, some cousins, and my grandmother, my dad's mother, is still alive. It'll be 94 in January.
Sometimes that's of interest to some of these researchers. When they can't think of anything else to do, they'll try and track the person from their hometown or where their relatives were living last.
My sister, I'm sure, will always live in St. Paul. I'm pretty sure she'll always live in St. Paul. And she's a newscaster there for the NBC station.
Oh,
NBC
really?
Affiliate.
What's her last name now? Is she married?
She goes, she's married to a guy named McDonald. For professional purposes, she goes by Mary Stuckey still. But it'd be either Mary Stuckey or Mary McDonald.
Okay.
One of those two.
This touches upon the questions that I told you before I started. It's very much a superficial overview, just to get an idea of who you were, what you did, how much documentation. You've certainly answered those questions very well. Is there something else that I haven't covered that you'd like to add to the record at this point? If not, that'll take care of it.
I can't think so. I think
okay.
Everything.
Well, thank you very
much. If it dawns on me, I'll send you a letter.
All right.